Our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing unto your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A blessed new year. I don't know about your new year. My new year was really filled with lots of fireworks because I was asked to lead part of the New Year's Eve service. And it was really timely. The service ended at 11:55 p.m., you know, and we came out, and there was tons and tons of fireworks and people whipping out, you know. Most people didn't want to even shake the clergy hand. They all start running out and start taking videos and things like that. It's okay. My significant lies not in the shaking of hands, but in the Lord, you know. And it's wonderful to see that the church is right at the center, the heart of the city. And of course, I don't know about why last year, the New Year's Eve, even way before 11 p.m., there were already lots of fireworks. So Vicar Terry has to really fight, you know, his voice has to really supersedes the noise. And you know, nave is not quite, you know, soundproof like here, you know. So they were poop, 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 poop. And it's like, praise the Lord. So it's like, you know, very, very tough, very tough. Anyway, this year we will be focusing on discipleship. 2 years ago was the year of prayer. Last year was the year of evangelism, right? And now this year, we are focusing on discipleship, a year of discipleship. To help us remember what does that entails, Vicar Terry has come up with a very catchy phrase called dig deep, walls down, and bridge out. Everyone say dig deep, walls down, and bridge out. Digging deep, the Word of God, put and lay down our pride so that we can engage and be connected to reach our community. So it is not just discipleship, therefore we lift out prayer, we lift out evangelism. It is part and parcel of discipleship. Discipleship is praying, it's evangelism, but also it is digging deep the Word of God. And I pray that in this new season and this year, 2020, the starting of a new sermon series called Disciple 360 Degree. What it means to follow Jesus. Following God wholeheartedly has to do with every aspect of our life. It is not just church life, it is not just family life, but it's also our work life, our leisure life, and all these things. And that's what Disciple 360 Degree really means, all right? So I want to dive straight into our new sermon series. Today I would like to start with a fiction story. It all starts on that planet Krypton. A planet with an advanced culture, but is also doomed to be destroyed. Before it can be destroyed, scientist Joel and his wife Kara are able to send their son off into a rocket to escape the destruction. The rocket eventually makes its way to Earth, where it crashed down in Kansas City, USA, where it is found by the Kents. The Kents decide to... The Kents decide to come to Kent... decide to keep the baby and raise it as their own child, which they name Clark, grows up as they notice that he exhibits some extraordinary gifts and realize that the child is something special. With their love and guidance, the Kents shape Clark's moral code and teach him that he is to use his gift to help humanity. Once Clark reaches his adulthood years, he moves to Metropolis, where he lives a double life. In one life, he's a mild-mannered Clark, right, who works as a reporter at Daily Planet. In the other, He uses His immense ability to be good in the world. Now, who He is? Everyone shout, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Okay, can lower down that music, right? Nowadays, to become a pastor and to preach well is very difficult. You need to have some soundtrack, yeah. Today is a family service. I hope that the children always enjoy our time in family service. Bear with me, adults. I hope that I don't sound childish, but we all have that childlike faith to enjoy what God has given to us, and in hope that the children also will be engaged with what God has to say to each and every one of us. Don't we like that story, Superman, right? Someone to save the world. But today's scripture text is no fiction story. Jesus, the true Savior of the world, was revealed to all humanity. The Lord is here. And all good Anglican members will say, the Lord is here. God leading humanity to reveal the long-awaited Messiah and King. Jesus is our shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus is our truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is not only our shepherd, our truth, but he is Almighty, the Almighty One. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 says, He's the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty One. And not only He's the shepherd, He's the truth, He's the Almighty, but He is our Redeemer. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The star is a symbol of our need for divine revelation, to see the Messiah and the King. Without divine revelation, we would miss the Messiah. The star is a sign. The star is a sign, a wonder, a revelation, a guidepost, a traffic light, a tracking device, and a global positioning system that brings us to the point and place of divine revelation about the Messiah. This picture is fresh. About a few hours ago, the Usher Ministry had a Thanksgiving fellowship. And we want to thank the Lord for each and every one of them. And without any Hokkien say, wo pakat, we never pakat, we never tell each other, Karen and myself. And Karen asked them to use the string and to form a star. So I quickly whip up my phone and take a picture, a few of them. All right, so we not only have five, we have more, much more. I think 30, 32 ushers. And we really want to thank them. Now, I feel that it is apt for us to see this picture because all of us, not just the people in the usher ministry, all of us usher the presence of God wherever we go. And today, the star ushers the wise men, the shepherds, to the presence of the Holy One, the Almighty, the Shepherd, the truth, and our Redeemer. The Lord is here. But with the appearance of Jesus came three different responses. By King Herod, by the chief priests, the scribes, and the wise men. Firstly, King Herod seeks to reject. He has no intention to welcome the good news. In fact, it is bad news for him. He feels threatened by this Jesus who called himself the King of the Jews. Herod's kingdom is at stake. Herod was constantly on guard against threats to his rule, especially from his own family. He assassinated many family members whom he suspects of disloyalty. Can you believe it? Family members. He kills them. The fact that all Jerusalem was troubled with Herod is significant. This was due either to the fact that the people of Jerusalem rightly fear Herod. Fear what sort of paranoid outburst might come from Herod upon hearing of a rival king being born. Herod later commanded that all boys too, age 2 and younger, be killed in the area. We read in a few verses down, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Herod had a hardened heart towards God. All he ever think was how he could just have full control. This trouble is again a testimony to the greatness of Jesus. Even as a young child, Jesus of Nazareth is so potent a factor in the world that no sooner is he there in his utmost weakness, a now born king, then he begins to reign, even as a young infant child. Before he mounts the throne, friends bring him presents, enemies compass his death. Is Jesus Christ the king of your heart? If he is the king of your heart, he needs to be Lord over our lives. If he is not Lord over our life, he is not Lord at all in our lives. The second group of people who heard about the birth of Jesus were the chief priests and the scribes, seek not to respond. This was the first contact the religious leaders had with Jesus. They understood the biblical information correctly, but failed to apply in their life. Chief priests would especially include those who once held the office of the high priest. Herod changed the high priest often because it was largely politically arranged. Scribes, the teachers of the law of scribes, as our English version calls them, were expert in the Old Testament and in oral tradition. Their work was to teach the Old Testament. Probably you'll find them in some theological school, you know. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, quoting Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the chief priests and the scribes understood that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, distinguishing it from another town of the same name further north. From this passage in Micah, they understood not only that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but also that he would be a ruler who will shepherd the people of Israel. Sadly, this expert had the right information but seemed personally uninterested in meeting the Messiah for themselves. They have a heedless heart towards God's truth. All they care about is traditions and laws so that others may admire them and they are not concerned or care about the love of God. They were more interested in their reputation than lifting up the name of Jesus. How much of God's word do we understand and apply in our life? We are challenged not just to be hearers, but be doers of God's word. The third group of people who heard about the birth of Jesus Christ were the wise men. They seek to revere, reverence. It is important for us to examine who the Magi were. They were priests, holy men, who were seeking spiritual truth. And as they sought God's truth, God revealed himself to them. God led them to the Messiah because that's what they were looking for. God reveals himself to those who are looking for him. And the amazing thing about the story is that the wise men are not Jewish, yet God leads them to the Messiah. By this, God is telling the world that Jesus is not just the King of the Jews, but he is the Savior of all humankind. It does not matter if you are Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you are poor or rich. It doesn't matter if you are male or female. It doesn't matter whether you got hair or no hair, slim or plump, smart or intellectually challenged. None of these matter. God will reveal himself to anyone who seeks him. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, "When you seek for me, you find me. If you seek me with all your heart." Let this year be a year of seeking afresh what the Lord wants to do in and through us. The verse says, "Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them." The star continued to guide them like a GPS to visit Jerusalem to gain more information. Then the star appeared again to specifically guide them to where Jesus was. This was a supernatural phenomenon. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. We noticed that Jesus had here is called a young child, likely being between 6 to 18 months old. We also noticed that the child is mentioned before the mother. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was common, especially in the East, that one would never appear before royalty or a person of importance without bringing gifts. Considering who this wise man believed this young child to be, it is not surprising that they gave such lavish gift. The gold speaks of royalty. Frankincense speaks of divinity. The myrrh speaks of death. Yet it is almost certain that the Magi did this unaware. They simply wanted to honor the King of the Jews. They fell down and worshipped him. More importantly than their gifts, it's the fact that they worship Jesus. It must have been a curious sight to see that those noble men bowing before a young child. Look around you. There are many young child here. Imagine important people bowing down to the young child. In verse 12, the text says that they were warned in a dream not to report to Herod, and they returned to their country by another route. There is no suggestion that the star led them back to their country. And I want to suggest that the star faded. The significance of fading star is that in the first part of the journey, the Magi needed a sign, a wonder, a guidepost, a traffic light, or a tracking device, a GPS. They did not know where they were going and needed the external presence of the star. The star led them to the child. And when they saw the child, they no longer needed the star because the function of the star was to bring them to the point of divine revelation. Their worship is also manifested in obedience. They are obedient to the heavenly dream and live without serving as Herod's informants. Once you see the divine revelation, then you don't need the star, because the external power of the star goes internal. I want to say that again. Once you see the divine revelation, Jesus Christ, then you do not need the star anymore, because the external power, the star, is now inside of us. Once they saw the child, they had an inflamed heart, an illuminated memory. Their hearts were inflamed because of the divine revelation, and their memories was illuminated because they never would forget what they saw. After the wise men had a dream, they had to make a choice. They could believe that God was speaking to them, or they could just decide that it is just imagination. It takes faith to believe that God is speaking to them, and it takes faith to act upon what they believe. I believe year 2020 will be a year of shifting. As the Lord leads us, we will see the hand of God prospering us, and we will see the favor of the Lord. We like to hear that, "Lord, bless me." But the Lord only wants to bless those who are willing to follow Him. Know this, that the Lord still speaks today. How does He speak to us? One way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. Psalms 119 Verses 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God speaks to us through His holy word. When we read the Bible, God reveals His will to us. He gives us direction for our lives. He shows us the way we should go. But here's the catch. We must be willing to listen. We must be willing to listen. Secondly, another way God speaks to us is through a faithful preaching and teaching of His Word. The preaching and teaching of His Word, the Bible, is sacred. Most preachers, Sunday schools, teachers, connect leaders, later we're going to pray for every leader, ministry leaders, recognize that even their best effort fall drastically short of the mark as they strive to communicate God's goodness and majesty. Yet God, in the midst of our weaknesses, in the midst of our shortfall, yet God is able to use this feeble attempt to speak to those who are listening to His voice. Lastly, God can speak to us through other sources. God spoke to the wise men through a star. We cannot limit the way God chooses to speak to us. He may speak to you through the counsel of a close friend, through your parents. Yes, through your parents. Young people, through your parents. And parents, through your children, through an event, through a book, during a time of meditation, while you are watching the news, or any time that you are listening for God's voice to give you direction. There are times in our life when we find ourselves in situations that offers no clear-cut answers. It is at this time we can still trust God completely, knowing that He will lead us each step of the way. The truth is that He wants to lead us more than we want to follow Him. The Magi left with an inflamed heart and an illuminated memory. The star faded because it had completed its task. The power of revelation was now on the inside. The power of revelation is on the inside of you. So in conclusion, we see here three different responses to Jesus. One may say that all people respond in one way of this tree. Herod displayed an open hatred, hostility towards Jesus, seeking to reject with a hardened heart. Second, the chief priests and the scribes were indifferent towards Jesus, all the while retaining their religious respectability, seeking not to respond to God with a heedless heart. The wise men sought out Jesus and worshipped him, even at great cost, seeking to revere the Son of God with a humble heart. Where are we? Where are we? We should learn from the wisdom of these wise men. We see a wonderful pattern. Next slide, please. Those who look for Jesus will see him. Those who see him will worship him. Those who worship him will offer their best to him. Next slide. When we go for an eye checkup, right? And the result shows 20/20, that means you have a good vision. When you seek and see Jesus, our lives will never be the same again. Just like the wise men, their lives are guided not by the star anymore, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. This year, 2020, my prayer for all of us, including me, is that we may have the vision of God that is so clear that what drives our life towards Godwards, that His name be glorified. That as we begin to see Jesus, as we begin to worship Him, we will offer our life anew. We will offer our lives anew. Psalms chapter 119 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law." Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 says that the eye is the lamp of the body. So, if your eye is healthy, if your spiritual eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? If Jesus is the King of our heart, Lord over our mind, and God whom we worship, then our vision of Him will be clear, and we will be able to be led and be guided by Him. We will lack nothing. He will be lifted up high. He will be lifted up high. I pray for at least for Saturday service that our vision of God will be clear. Once our vision of God will be clear, whatever that we go through will be nothing, because Christ is greater than any sum of total of issues that we have in this side of eternal life. Don't you agree? Only when we really agree that my God is greater than my problem, then you begin to see that God is going to make you a mountain mover. God is going to make you one that will conquer over life struggles and challenges. I pray that for us, that the year of discipleship is the year that we have the vision corrected, a 2020 vision, that we see God working not just in this community, but in the community that we live in, our family, our workplace. Let's conclude this part of the sermon with prayer. Let's stand together and let's pray this prayer together. Together. Almighty God, who made known the incarnation of your word by the star of stunning brilliance, which the wise men followed until they came to worship and offer their treasures before the infant Lord. Grant the star of your righteousness may always appear in our hearts to lead us and to inspire us to offer the treasures of our praises and the worship of our life that reflects on your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.